Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Lovely to have a company. Saturday afternoon, Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires. Raiders taking on the Warriors, 3 o'clock. As I said, we'll get to Ryan Girdler's theory on that game very shortly. Then it's the Bulldogs and the Broncos, then all leading to the big one, the Titans taking on the Dragons.
Sensational. Game of the season.
Game of the season. Look, I've got a theory on that, which I'm going to get to in the stock market as well, Em, how important that game is. And I just think that the NRL is missing a trick here, that they could be doing something very special with this game this evening. I'll get to that very shortly. Plenty more to get to right now, though. What about a little bit of this?
Reedy's Mail.
Brent Reed, as ever, nice to talk to you.
Hi, peeps. How are we? Oh, sorry, Dale, I'm not allowed to say peeps.
Oh, mate, Reedy, you know what? You can say whatever you like, mate, because, mate, you're killing it this year, mate.
Well, Reedy, how are you? You miss us?
I'm good, yeah. I'm actually in the car with the family. We're heading to the Centennial Parklands. We're just following some friends of ours.
Oh, okay, beautiful. Hey, kids, and hey, Mrs. Reed.
Sorry, Dale, you're not on speaker. Oh, okay,
you're following some friends. What, you don't know how to get to the Centennial Parklands?
No, we didn't know how to get there. Mm. We just want to make sure we don't lose them, that's all.
I love travelling
in convoy. My wife's driving, so it's all good. No great issue.
Right, so you've got the kids. Is it like a park activity afternoon? Is that what's happening?
Well, actually, we were going to head out to Casula because there's some ninja training centre out there. That's like an hour and 10 minutes from the Northern Beaches. And it was a bit windy, so we made a late change of plans.
Are you in ninja training, Reed?
Well, not me, the kids, to be fair.
That's very unlike...
I'll tell you what, I have said to my kids, I've watched that ninja show and I reckon I could nail that with just 6 months training.
I think that you would not be able to nail it with 5 years training, Brent Reed.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't look that hard to me.
Oh my goodness. You're that guy that sits on the couch going, I could do this.
I could do that,
Yeah, armchair expert, of course.
That just describes his entire career, just looking and watching people actually doing stuff, going, I could do
that's
that.
True, very true.
And I respect you for it because it's what I do. Now, Micah Seva, we were talking about him a little earlier, played again brilliantly with that 3 tries in the second half. What's happening with him?
Yeah, look, I spoke to Parramatta officials after the game on Thursday night, and obviously they've been in talks with him about a new deal. I think Hoops did something on that a couple of weeks ago. It's just been delayed a little bit. His manager is actually Cameron Phelps. I don't know if you remember the former player.
Yeah, obviously Bulldogs.
The Dogs. Yeah. He's actually his manager. He's been away. He gets back this week. So the Dogs are going to have a chat to him this week about the new deal. It's going to be a 2-year extension with an upgrade for next year. They may put it off till after the finals, but they're really confident because obviously Micah hasn't played in the finals before. So they think maybe they don't want to distract him, but they're very confident they'll get a deal done. If not before the end of the season, then definitely after the finals are over. So he won't be going anywhere, Micah.
Yeah, they can keep chanting that name at Bankwest Stadium.
How good was that? That was unbelievable.
And look, as Em said, I guess a lot of that affection's it's built up about the way he's playing, but also the vision we saw in that with his dad coming over from Fiji. That's I guess has sparked a lot of that, hasn't it?
Yeah, and he's got such a warm personality, hasn't he? You saw when he went over to the second or third try, he gave the thumbs up to the crowd. And he's just such a likable guy.
I know, Reedy, you said that it's most likely he won't be going anywhere, but surely there'd be some interest in the marketplace for him, wouldn't there?
Well, you would think so. I mean, I suppose clubs are a bit, it's his first year, Gerds, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I know there'd be a lot of interest in him. There's a lot of clubs want wingers at the moment. The Dragons are a club that are keen to land a winger if possible. But
Cowboys, Dragons, there's a whole lot of them.
I'm sure if he's in the market on November 1, there'll be a heap of interest in him. But they're pretty confident they'll get something done before then. And, I'd be surprised if he went anywhere, Micah.
Mm. Right, the Eels obviously a little bit busy because Michael Jennings as well.
Yeah, this has been ongoing, hasn't it? We've been talking about this for months. And, the issue's been whether he gets a 1 or 2 year deal. Again, Parramatta officials speaking to them on Thursday night, they said they reckon they'll get it done this week. It'll be a 2-year deal for Michael Jennings. He's obviously playing really well. He's coming in with a pretty disappointing year, but he's bounced back this year. And they reckon they've resolved it. It'll get done probably this week. And, another 2 years for Michael Jennings. So good outcome for him.
We spoke with Adam Reynolds a little earlier, talking about how he headbutted Boyd Corner's elbow. He said that's just rugby league. What South Sydney thinks a bit more of it?
Yeah, well, they're not really happy about this, South, because if you remember Semi Burgess last year, I think he got 2 games suspended for an incident with Josh Morris. Mm. Whereas a similar sort of incident, the old bumper bar sort of contact, and look, South, and obviously Zane Tedavano didn't get charged either over that late hit on Dewey. I mean, I think we're all a bit taken aback by that. And obviously in light of what happened to Sam, South contacted Todd Greenberg and Graham Annesley yesterday just to raise their concerns about it, ask why there are inconsistencies, obviously, with the charges, not just Sam and compared to Boyd Corden the last year to this year, but also why Tedavano wasn't charged. And, you know, the Match Review Committee's been under pressure all year. And, I reckon there's a little bit of inconsistency about this. There's no doubt South feel that way. And, you know, I think it's just heaped more pressure on the Match Review Committee, to be fair. You know, I think Michael Buten was under immense pressure anyway, but it's only going to get warmer, the pressure on him, if it keeps going down this path.
What was their reasoning, do you know? Why wasn't Zane Tedavano charged?
You know what, I actually asked the NRL, and what they said was because the play was almost too good. The South was so slick, and that move was so slick, that Tedavano, their view was that Tedavano almost couldn't have avoided what happened. And, you know.
So two Viliami kick-out probably couldn't have avoided that hit on Darren Nicholls 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. But
exactly. And that's where you sort of go, well, where's the consistency in all this? Because, you know, most blokes, when they nail someone, or 5 times out of 10, it's because the movement's too slick and they get their timing wrong. And, well, that's what's happened in this situation, but there's no charge against Tedavano. So I think that's why clubs are frustrated at the moment with the Match Review Committee and the way things are working.
All right, Reedy. And finally, Cody Walker, what have you got?
Yeah, I was sitting on Thursday night. Cody Walker was hot around Origin time. Everyone was talking about, you know, his next deal and South. Obviously, November 1, he hits the mark, and at the time, South were really keen to tie him up. I get the feeling at the moment that maybe Cody's asking for us might be a bit rich for South. So, you know, they've obviously got a lot of their cap tied up.
He's going into that Centennial Parklands. I tell you, when you get to Centennial Parklands, but also, nobody can hear you.
Yeah, and hopefully get really back. But also, haven't they got that young, is it someone, Tracy?
O'Connor Tracy.
Yeah,
I'm back. Oh, we were trying to get rid of you.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
O'Connor Tracy's one of the Sharks.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, I mean, I think they look at Dewey as a long-term 5'8", and Corey Allen as a long-term fullback. And, yeah, South would love to keep Cody Walker. It's just going to depend on how much money he wants. And given he's sort of entering the twilight years, he might want a big deal for his last sort of contract. You know, for me, he's an ideal signing for the Gold Coast. But on the Gold Coast, you know, he's a guy, I reckon, maybe he gets the best out of Ash Taylor. Maybe he's a guy, I think he's from the Gold Coast. He's got family up there. Yeah. And pretty sure he played 20s, maybe 20s up there. South still want to keep him. There's no doubt about that. But it's just going to depend on the asking price and whether they can fit him in.
All right, Reedy, go off, enjoy throwing the frisbee around. And thanks for having a chat. We'll catch up next week.
Did you say a frisbee?
Frisbee.
A frisbee. Oh, okay, no frisbee. Sorry, no. We've got a soccer ball, though. We might have a kick.
Okay, do that, buddy. There he is. You can, of course, read Brent Reed in the Australian. You can hear him on Triple M on Fox Sports as well. We're going to talk about the Dragons and Gus Gould being involved in their end-of-season review. That's next, Saturday Triple M, NRL. Blondie for you on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, M. Lawrence, Tony Squires and Ryan Girdler with you. Girds, so you wouldn't eat food off the same plate as a dog, is that what you're saying?
Oh, Tony, probably not, no.
Okay.
Right. No. You want to test me?
No, a little bit. Cutting a skipper certainly wouldn't eat off the same plate as you. All right, the Dragons, it's been a tough old year, hasn't it? It finishes this evening when they play the Titans on the Gold Coast. We'll get to more detail of that in a little while. But I guess unsurprisingly, most teams at the end of the season, they'll have some kind of review and have a look where things went right and where things went wrong. Certainly it'll be a bit the latter for the Dragons this year. The interesting thing that has just come to light is that review will be conducted by none other than Phil Gould. Now, he has said, this is the bit that I find fascinating, he said this isn't a review of the head coach. Quote, this is not a review of the head coach. So Paul McGregor, who has come under fire, certainly from the St. George Illawarra fans, who are very vocal and sometimes incredibly personal and quite nasty they can get, but they're passionate about their team. They've certainly let the club know what they feel about Paul McGregor's efforts and the team this year. They've only won 7 games with a group of players who have played plenty of representative footy and certainly should have them in the 8, if not in the top 4. So it's been a failure every way you look at
it. So as a fan, Tony, are you happy that they're having a review at the end of the season? So
absolutely.
You believe that there needs to be change?
I do, and what I don't believe is that you can conduct that review. I know Paul McGregor might have have been instrumental in asking Phil Gould about this. I don't know how you can conduct a review where you interview every player on your list, where you interview the staff, and it's not about the coach. So what if every player comes and says, well, the problem we have is the coach?
Well, then it becomes about the coach. But you know what I find about the Dragons and the way they do business? And if I put myself in the position, if I was given a head coaching role, a head coaching role, I'll continue on. I know. I mean, she's been filthy all day, Tony.
She's
honestly, it's just ridiculous. If I was given the head role of an organisation, the first thing I would do.
Do you kiss your mother with that? Honestly.
The first thing I would do is I would want to control over recruitment and retention, because I think you live and die by, obviously, not just the results, but the your people that you bring into the organisation, and you need to identify people that you want to work with. I think that's – and those relationships you have between, you know, those guys that come in, especially the senior guys and yourself, it's paramount that they work well. Otherwise, I just don't think the organisation can be successful.
Yeah.
So I find it strange that a couple of years ago, I think it was, Mary sort of stood aside and said, look, I think, you know, Ian Millwood's going to do all the retention and recruitment. And I'm sure they have a pretty tight relationship around that. But every time Mary gets asked about, you know, a player coming or going, he sort of says, oh, look, you know, that's Ian Millwood's role. That's what he does at the club. And then I sort of try and stay out of that and focus on the footy side of things. I think that what might be what Gus is actually going down there to look at, is that model right? What other club does that? Because for me, that is so important as a head coach, that you've got the people in your system that you want, and also in relation to who else is out there on the market and who you want to keep. Now, if you think about their recruitment over the last couple of years, the biggest one in Ben Hunt. Now, I think Ben's a good player. I don't think he's a $1.2 million player, and therefore you've got someone that, you know, in recruitment and retention out there handling your salary cap as a head coach, and bringing someone in worth that amount of money, that you might be sitting there thinking, well, I think he's worth $700,000.
Yep.
I wouldn't pay 1.2, but you know what? That's not my department. I just need to get these guys to win.
Especially when those figures impact so heavily on the rest of
everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to, I believe as a head coach, you got to have your finger in all the pies.
Yeah.
Leave it alone, him.
Yeah.
I think for me, you know, I look at it and I look at the coaching staff and obviously what's going on in and around the club. Mary signed a 2-year deal. I was more than happy for Mary to re-sign, but there was no rush, I reckon, to really re-sign him at the start of this year. No one else was really wanting his services, and you want to see how the team performed. I know he said a few things happened this year, and I'm all for, like, you know, Mary being in a part of the club. But also, I think the Dragons have done really well when they've gone outside the club sometimes. I think they said they interviewed 13 or 14 people or something about that job. And you look at it back in 2009, you know, when they signed Wayne Bennett.
Yep.
Comes in, just, you know, he put his stamp. But I remember he said to Peter Dowse, mate, you worry about the corporate and do your thing, I'll do my thing. I'm not sure what's happened this year, but as an ex-Dragon, it's been very disappointing to see the way they played this year. I know they've had some injuries and some circumstances, but that's where I've been disappointed.
They have had a little bit more success, haven't they, with coaches that have come from outside. People like Brian Smith, even way back then, got them through, probably overachieved in the early 90s in terms of getting to grand finals, even though they lost. David Waite did that sort of stuff as well as a coach. What about Phil Gould, though? Is there an ongoing, and as yet nothing has been clarified, is there an ongoing role for someone like Phil Gould? We all know what he did at Penrith, to be working with the Dragons in terms of getting those systems right.
I think so. I think that was one of the unfortunate things. He'd done a lot at Penrith, and there are a lot of politics behind the scenes, but it would have been sad to see. I mean, I think Gus still has so much to give, so much knowledge. He's been a part of basically every part of our game as an administrator, a commentator, a coach, all of that. So he knows a lot. And again, politics are everywhere, so it has to be the right place. It has to be somewhere where everyone in that environment is happy to have Gus on board. And I imagine that's the case there. Mary's happy to have Gus there and conducting that review, but he's got so much to give. So I think it's a good thing for the Dragons, because particularly with rebooting all the junior systems at the Panthers, getting them financially up to speed, he did great things at the Panthers. And if it wasn't for Gus, you know, even the Leagues Club then too, all of that, that wouldn't have happened either.
Yeah, look, it's even like I try not to talk too much football with my young bloke, but the Dragons in the Canterbury Cup, they finished first. So they're doing a good job there. You know, players have come through that process. And there's a young guy called Field. we just haven't seen him for a while. I just didn't know what was going on. Young Joyfield. Lachlan Tim, I just didn't know why he hasn't got a go. And that's why I know the fans, I know we're talking about Gus and that, but that's why I don't know what the selection, because on the staff, I think you've got Ben Hornby, Dean Young, you've got Matthew Head.
Yep. Well, Ben Hornby's services have been not required next year. I think that's already happened.
Yeah, I didn't know that until about a month ago. I was sitting beside him at a sports and we didn't really talk too much footy, but
I think getting Gus down there at the end of the season for a review could be something that could be really positive for the Dragons. But moving forward, I think it just blurs the lines, Tony. I think, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen sometimes. And the same has happened out there with Penrith. He was doing administration. Sometimes it would cross over into, obviously, retention and recruitment. Then it would cross over into coaching and having Gus around. He's a big president. He makes, you know, young coaches nervous. And I think him and Griffin at the end sort of, it became a little bit of a power struggle in that there. I don't know. I just like, you know, I think in organisations to really run efficiently, I think the roles need to be identified and they need to be really clear. Who's the coach? What are you doing? What are your roles? Yeah. If you get Gus down there and hope he's just going to, fill some holes here and there, I think it'll just put noses out of joint and it'll turn into a bit of a mess.
I like Gus being there. They need someone to come in there and do something. Andrew Gordon is.
Well, what's he going to do though? Is he going to be the general manager of football? Is he going to help with the coaching? Is he going to do a little bit of everything?
Role? But they need something down there because at the moment it's just so
after the review. So moving on.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's. Yep. I think Gus is perfect for them. Everyone's saying, "Oh, what about Brian Smith being there?" But I think Gus would be perfect for a club like, because they got so many good juniors coming through.
If he goes down and does a review, and as Tony said, all the players go in and say, well, the issue's the coach and whatever it may be, and then Gus needs to get a new coach and then has an ongoing role, the amount of coaches, knowing Gus is going to be there as, you know, the head of football, that eliminates and takes off the table is a real issue for recruitment.
But through a few coaches in his time.
So senior coaches won't go underneath him.
It's not just, we know Gus and the personality.
Skipper, out of it. Jesus. He's underneath me again, Tony.
It's not just like that if Gus comes in, even with Mal, say, coming in to look at culture and performance at the Titans, Garth Brennan was consulted and had said, as long as he has nothing to do with coaching, I'm fine, he's got a lot to offer, but I want to have control of the team. And then soon enough, results aren't there. Mal's Friends conducting a review. Yeah, and then, so it can be very grey. And if the results, aren't there, it ends up spelling
messy.
The end of the coaching.
It's messy.
Well, certainly the Dragons supporters, fans, they'll be happy that Gus is there for this moment, that there is something being taken seriously, that there is a problem and it is being addressed.
Yep.
And I think this review is supposed to be done over these finals and completed around grand final time, so we'll see what happens to it then. The stock market is next on Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday Triple M NRL, Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. We spoke to Cameron Munster and of course, Anne Tom. We do those interviews. We do them thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate. He mentioned the word arrogance, that the team has an arrogance about it this time of the year. Do you relate to that?
I do. Not for me personally, but when I was at the Broncos, you sort of know, being that one, one team, from that town and that, and you just knew every year you sort of look. You look at the players. You look left. You got Alan Langer. You look right. You got Gordon Tallis and that, and you got Lockyer. You're confident what you're doing. He's not saying they're arrogant as a team, but the confidence and I call it a swagger. And they walk into places like they just feel like it's not their right, but when you watch them and the Roosters play, there's a certain amount of swagger, but also the Melbourne Storm, the way they do things. No matter who they bring in, they do the job. And it's like how Cam Munster plays. Mm. He's got a bit of a swagger about him. He's my favourite player to watch in the NRL. And what he said then, that was a real good insight.
Yeah, it's fair to say that the Melbourne Storm are preparing for finals tone, where other teams are trying to make the finals. And I think sometimes that's the difference. And this time of year, these sort of clubs, the Roosters and the like, they're just ready to go.
They have that belief, don't they?
Yeah, they all expect those teams just think they're going to win the comp.
Yeah,
and that mentality is just so important in the finals, that whoever you put in front of me, you're just someone I've got to knock out of the way to get to where I'm going.
And if you 2003, obviously your team won. How far back?
I thought wasn't that when you got a wooden spoon that year? Oh,
see, she won't let you forget it, mate. Yeah. See, she's that person.
No, we got the wooden spoon 2001. I mean, you're a journalist, do some research.
How far back from finals did you go look around and go, you know what, we're a shot here.
Yeah, like I think we won about 11 or so in a row at the start of the year and had a little bit of a challenging period through the Origin. And then as we came out of Origin, we started building. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, injuries and form and all that. And you just feel, and you speak to anyone that's won a premiership, they'll tell you that everything for that year just aligns for some reason, you know, and you got the right people playing at the right time and everyone's refreshed and you get the right run in and you play the right teams to, you know, prepare you for, you know, the whole path that you take. So, but I've been in teams before that we scrambled to get into the finals and we were so happy to get there. We got knocked out in the second round.
Yeah.
We were never going to do anything to get there. And that was our mentality was we got there, that was the relief and that was almost the satisfaction. And then whatever came after that was a bonus. For these guys, finals isn't the bonus. The winning, you know, holding that cup up is what they want to do.
Yeah, and also, mate, I think your coach sets a standard. Like, there's nothing arrogant about Bellamy, but he's just, I think it's attention to detail, just his emotion and that, and he sets that standard for him. So, you know, and that feeds down to the players. It's same with Wayne Bennett at the moment, you know. He's a winner, and you can just see the Bunnies boys and even the way that Adam Reynolds talks about Wayne Bennett.
Well, you look at those coaches, three of them in that top four, very Trent impressive. Robinson, Trent Robinson there as well. The guys who have just been there and done it. All right, it's time to for a bit of this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up. The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
Big story, obviously, at the moment, all week has been, will he or won't he? Will Robbie Farah come back from a broken leg to play at Leichhardt Oval tomorrow afternoon? It's the penultimate game of the season. The penultimate game of the season, and it will decide who gets that final spot in the finals. And he wants to be there. Now, it seems it would be remarkable if you come back from a cracked tibia? To play when it's only 4 weeks since he did the injury. He's been training, running straight lines, doing more than that, according to Benji Marshall. Saw him at Fox the other day, and he said it was remarkable what he's up to. I guess the other question is that they're playing pretty well without Robbie Farah. They've got a good system in place with Benji at nine and Josh Reynolds coming in, bringing a lot of energy. So the question I'm putting to you is, I'm not even putting as a question, the statement, I don't know if they're buying, selling or holding, Robbie Farah will play his final home and away game at Leichhardt tomorrow afternoon. Wendell Saylor?
Oh, yeah, straight to me. I'm holding. Look, part of me wants to see Robbie play that game, but not to the detriment of the team or himself. You know, him and Paul Gallen, two old warriors of the game, and they're playing great at the moment, the West Tigers. And Madge has done a good job. Part of me wants to see the West Tigers go through because, you know, they're a team that no one would thought they'd make the eight after the Ivan Cleary stuff. Yeah, but I'm holding. Do I personally want to see Robbie play? Yeah, I want to see Robbie play, but I want Robbie to play if he's fit.
Is he fair game? Is he fair?
Yeah,
we all talk
mate,
of that?
Once you get out there, it's fair game. Like, you know, once you get out there, if you put your hand up.
A little sly kick in the shin, what are you going to do?
It's like, you remember Nate Miles? Who was it? Was it Gallen or someone? Someone had a bad knee and Nate Miles tackled him and then did the crocodile roll.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen too.
All right. Fair game?
Oh, he's absolutely fair game if he goes out there and there's a final spot on the line. You're playing the Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely fair game. I'll buy. I think he'll play.
You think he'll play?
Wow, big. Massive.
But isn't it a massive call given where they are and how they've played the past couple of weeks to change that team?
Yeah, they've got Josh Reynolds on the bench and they'll all go in with good intention. I mean, what happens in the game, you know, you can't control pretty much. So, but I think they'll... given the fact that he's been running around for the last couple of days and it's such a big secret, I reckon if he wasn't going to play, we'd probably, I don't know, there'd probably be a little bit more noise around the fact that he was going to be out. So yeah, I expect him to turn out in the colours.
Well, the coach has said he's not really going to give us any more information. He's in the 19 now. It's been reduced from the 21 to the 19. I think probably till tomorrow. Emma Lawrence, you may know more than all of us.
I don't know. But I think he'll play.
Wow.
Just seeing it training during the week, the way he was moving, I think he'll play. And I think he'll play because they think he can make their side better. Not Madge isn't sentimental. He would. It's not just for the fairy tale Leichhardt farewell. I think they're a better side with him there. And, having Josh Reynolds on the bench as well, there's safety there. So I don't know 100%, but I think he'll be there.
Would you carry Josh Reynolds on the bench if you're playing Robbie Farah? Aren't you just putting four big fours, or are you playing Joshy?
No, of course. I mean, everyone, most people now carry a utility on the bench, and some teams don't even know. I mean, most teams these days, and you've got like Lawrence and Garner and Madison, they play massive minutes. Back rows these days, most of the sides that are successful this year have their back row almost playing 80 minutes. So it's just that middle third rotation you need to worry about. And your dummy half's one of those guys. Now, Manly obviously do it really successfully. Most clubs will carry someone that at a pinch they can come on at either in the halves or at dummy half, and Josh covers all those positions.
All right, Emma Lawrence, we're already aware today of your potty mouth. And I was just trawling through the internet and internet feed and a little bit from the professor. Just have a listen to this.
Yeah, I'm married to the job.
Why aren't you married?
My work. Zach can potentially answer that question.
Zach Bailey.
Zach.
Why isn't she married?
Give me a f***ing ring.
Holy. Wow.
Emma. Emma.
Wow.
Honestly, what are you...
What's going on?
What's going on? Are you a little just playing angry at the moment? Are you okay?
No, it's a comedy show.
Yeah.
It's a comedy show.
You've had a big year.
It's nothing... What are you saying? I'm losing the plot?
Am I
losing the dressing room here?
No, not at all. No,
you want me off this show?
No, you've got the dressing room, mate. You're on fire today. You're Dally in 3 points today.
That was a stitch up.
Yeah, it was a stitch. Yeah. No, it was really. No, it's a question on the stock market. Okay, the statement: you buying, selling, and holding. M won't get a ring this season.
I'm selling.
Mate, I spoke to Zach a couple of weeks ago. She's a million miles away from getting a ring this year. Some of the behaviour, especially on air. I mean, he doesn't like any of this, by the way.
Yeah.
So,
his family doesn't like that.
But this is
any of the pressure that you apply.
I'm not the one applying the pressure. Mm-hmm. That was a joke for my workplace. I'm a
comedian.
It's a comedy show, so you can just have a bit of banter here and there. It's not always 100% serious.
Really?
To be honest, I like Zach. He's just got a man up. You've been together, what, like 8, 9 years?
5.
Oh, sorry. It feels like 9 years, but he said it feels like 9. That's what he said to me.
Is that what he said to you?
Tonight, it is the Dragons taking on the Titans. It's the third game. Now, it is, of course, the final game for both of those sides. I'm sure they'll be heading up in the Gold Coast afterwards. This is the pre-Mad Monday, Mad Saturday evening. I just got to tell you, I think the NRL has missed a trick here. I think that if you do have the bottom two teams playing each other in the last round, well, you actually do have to play for the wooden spoon. I think a giant wooden spoon should be set up there on the sideline, and the two teams should play it. The losing captain must come out and make the speech, apologising to the fans for being rubbish all year, congratulating the other team for being just slightly less rubbish all year, and he gets daxed halfway through the speech. I just think it's something that would bring people and fans together for the final...
So you have to have are you saying a separate game to play for the wooden spoon? So week one of the finals, the two for 15th, 16th playoff for the wooden spoon.
Well, at the moment, it's the last round in this
season.
Oh,
yeah, this season.
Yeah, it's worked
out
beautifully.
Every other year, what will we do?
Well, look, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. Let's get this.
Just one game at a time.
I've got a lot of ideas, Anne, but I can't come out with them all at the same time, all right?
Okay.
I put up a proposal, which I think is fairly
decent.
You're
all about seizing the moment, Tony.
It's a fairly decent proposal.
In this moment, that makes sense, that proposal.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Now you think if you've got something there, if it's a wooden spoon, it sits on the sideline, away they go.
What have they been thinking about the NRL over the last couple of weeks?
Buying, selling, or holding, Wendell Saylor?
No, I'm not buying that. That's rotten, mate. the Titans have been poor all season. They deserve it. I don't like to see the Dragons get the wooden spoon or even a chance to get the wooden spoon, but they've been pretty poor this year as well.
Okay, Em.
It's funny, but no.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Tony, I know you'd like to see the Dragons get the wooden spoon because that's the kind of supporter that you are.
Oh, no, it's not.
But the Dragons are like 6 points away from getting the wooden spoon, so the game isn't even relevant because even if the Gold Coast win this game, they get the wooden spoon.
I get that. That's what
regardless.
I'm saying you put it all on the line.
So I'm selling. You're saying that the Dragons should
put it on the line.
Put their other four hard-fought victories
points.
On the line.
Put it on the line.
And say if loser takes all. Winner takes.
You're playing in a game that means something confused. Suddenly for the last round.
No, I'm selling.
You're selling?
I just hope the Titans fans turn up.
I hope they do too.
Last game.
We've got plenty to get to. Gerds, tell us what the Raiders should be doing this afternoon. So much here. We'll talk about the Storm and the Cowboys as well. Plenty ahead. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Wendell M, Ryan Girdle, Tony Squires with you. Okay, the Raiders and the Warriors kickoff is at 3 o'clock this afternoon, GIO Stadium. Now, if you thought I was cruel talking about the wooden spoon playoff, Ryan Girdle, you've got a theory here about the Raiders and how they should attack.
Well, I just think it's all about positioning. Obviously, that game today, Tony, will mean if the Raiders win, they stay up there in... They jump the Rabbitohs because they've got a bit for and against, and they jump up there into third, and then they'll potentially play the Roosters at the SCG. And if they lose and they come fourth, they will then go down to Melbourne next week for the first round of the finals. Now, if I'm Ricky Stewart, I've already rested, obviously, Bateman, Klokstad, Leilua suspended, Rapana, I think, is out injured, and Soliola. So that's a fair chunk of the guys I'm giving a rest. I'm telling Josh Hodgson, that... He's got the flu and he needs to stay at home today. Mm-hmm. I'm telling Jack Whiten that, he's lost his car keys and he can't make it. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting a young side out there that's going to go out and take on the Warriors today. In the back of my mind, hoping that that the Warriors have a nice victory and I finish fourth and I go down to Melbourne next week. Given the fact that I think 3 weeks ago, round 22, they had a nice victory over the Melbourne Storm in Melbourne, 22-18. And they had two guys in the sin bin for 10 minutes. And I think they'd take a fair bit of confidence out of that. The Roosters' record at the SCG, now this year has been phenomenal. 1-1, lost 1-8, lost 1, 322 points for and 92 against.
They like the wide open spaces, don't they?
It's a bit of a tough place to go.
Yeah, and the one they lost was the Bunnies, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they've played the Roosters twice this year, the Raiders, and they've lost both times.
Wow, okay.
No one in this league obviously goes out there to lose, but, I'd be thinking of giving some other key members a bit of a rest today, and I wouldn't be too concerned if I'm Ricky Stewart if my boys finish fourth and we take on the
Storm. Are you explaining this to the fan base before they turn up this afternoon expecting and hoping for a terrific performance and a win?
I don't care who's listening. I'm just telling you that's my theory.
No, I'm talking about if you're
a bit
of Ricky,
respect
do you,
to the fans.
Do you tell
the thank
fans
you, Emma. I agree.
That we are planning to let this one roll by us.
Oh, if I'm Ricky and I'm telling the fans. No. It's all about giving young guys experience and moving on into next year. But mainly, if you think about Whiten, Whiten's played 22 NRL games, three games in the Origin Series. He's going to probably represent Australia at the back end of the season as well. He's got a lot of footy around, and I need him at his best for the finals. Hodgson hasn't played as much football, but he's crucial to my team's chances going into the finals, and I don't want anything to happen to him. And I think their form is good enough. I don't think they're you play this game, get all your guys in there. Obviously, he's already taken a lot of the key players out for today, so I wouldn't be afraid to rest a couple more.
What about the argument, though, the fact that they've played Melbourne? Melbourne know exactly what they're going to come up against and will change their game plan to beat them. Manly went down there. Manly beat Melbourne in Melbourne. Mm. And then the next time they played Manly, they absolutely pumped them at Brookie.
They got pumped.
Sorry, Lotto Land.
Yeah.
It's not an easy trip.
It's not Melbourne. If they've gone down to you, they learn quickly. So.
And the Roosters aren't going to be. There's no easy games in this final series. I think it's about psychologically and how you feel, and they would only know. But from what I saw witnessing those games, I just felt like they've got a style that really troubles the Melbourne Storm. I don't know. I think the Roosters, obviously, with that two wins over them so far this year, will carry a fair bit of confidence into that first clash. And playing at the SCG is just this year, it's just been so hard to win. So
I think it's all the fans that are there.
Yeah, the
hostile crowd.
At Melbourne?
At the SCG. With the big crowd numbers they've been getting.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've been as disappointed in anybody as I am in you at the moment, Ryan, for a long time. I mean, obviously, we've got the clean freak has happened already with Skipper. The way you've treated him today has been disappointing. But
by the way, we had lunch just a little while ago, and everyone was eating hamburgers and chips, and no one washed their hands, I noticed.
Well, because
you've been playing with Skipper all morning.
How could you notice there's no tap here? I washed my hands in the bathroom.
Yeah, I had also washed mine in the bathroom, but I had a salad. Thing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So
Hospital clean.
Yeah. Well awesome. Your eyes aren't everywhere, Ryan. Okay. Your four eyes aren't everywhere.
Did you wash your hands because you've been touching things around here, microphones and everything that might have germs?
Yeah, continuously.
You are. You.
What were you going to say?
Yeah. I was going to say your scheme for the Raiders is ethically and morally bankrupt.
Yeah, it is.
For those fans who may not know of your plan ahead of time and may have put some of their hard-earned, you know, gambling on the team, wanting them to win, suddenly that means nothing to you. This is the whole reason that the AFL has a gap week between the end of the season and their first final, because Ross Lyon for Fremantle did exactly that, decided wherever they finished couldn't be altered by the result of their last game, so he rested almost his entire side.
It's a great opportunity to give some young guys some experience. It's a great opportunity.
State of origin during the year where that can happen. There's plenty of opportunities.
Oh, there are.
If they're young guys,
I'd
good
be
enough,
taking this one
enough.
Though. Tony is all I'm saying.
If they're young guys, they're good. If they're good enough, they're good enough.
What about this conspiracy theory then? If the Broncos lose, the Tigers and Sharks shake hands and settle for a draw with each other.
Too hard to do. There'd be an investigation.
This is good. So,
So the Broncos are 1 point ahead of the Sharks and the Tigers.
Yes.
So, if they go down to the Bulldogs and the Tigers and Sharks can somehow manage a draw,
are both for and against better than the Broncos?
I believe.
Because
I don't want 100%. I thought it was, but maybe I should check before I go.
I've heard that too. That's exactly what I've heard.
It seems you've already said it, Em.
The Broncos is -41.
Yes,
the Sharks are +33 and the Tigers are +6.
So it does work.
Yes.
So then they just sort of beforehand, Gal chats to Robbie and says, oi, we'll both make the
gentlemen's
finals.
Gentlemen's agreement.
Entertaining, make it 40 each or something, 40 all, that sort of scoreline. Yeah. Then they have to go through Golden Point as well without getting any injuries.
It'd
be a hell of a watch, wouldn't it?
It would be a great watch, wouldn't it? And then in the last moment, just to stuff the other team, Gal says, let's kick a field goal.
typical Gal.
The great man finishes up tomorrow afternoon. Plenty of good footy and plenty of good chat ahead. Saturday, Triple M and NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.